What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, October 26, 2018, aka Red Dead Redemption 2 Day. Let's give a round of applause. They did it. It's out. It's in stores now. I'm sure many people are not playing, not watching the show or listening to the show because they are playing the game. But hey, you know what? I dare you to multitask, you cowards.
You can do both.
You can do both.
You can do both.
I'm Tim Geddes. Over here, once again, we got Aiden Strahan. Another round of applause. Thank you very much for joining us again.
Thanks for having me again.
You excited?
Absolutely.
Good. The response to you was very positive last time you were on the show. So we got to keep the positivity train.
We got the good
vibes. Chewing along. You know what I mean? Do you, Kevin? I love you. You know what I mean?
I don't believe it at all.
Heard it both ways. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday right here on twitch.tv/kindafunnygames, we get together to talk about all the biggest news in the video game industry. And let me tell you what, because Red Dead Redemption 2 came out today, there's not much news. If you go to any video game website, it's essentially just a whole bunch of Red Dead Redemption tips and tricks and FAQs and this and that and screenshots. Again, this is one of those big moments in video games. This is one of the big tentpole releases. Getting great reviews everywhere, so enjoy it, please. But if you're here for us, I'm going to give you a little bit of that housekeeping. Greg and Nick are at EGLX this weekend. That's up in Toronto. They're playing Smash Brothers. I think that's tomorrow that they're doing that. They're doing a meet and greet. They're doing a whole bunch of stuff. You can go to kindafunny.com/EGLX to see what they're up to. And if you can go hang out with them, I highly recommend it. Will they be dressed as Ghostbusters, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Will they be dressed as Ghostbusters the whole time at the convention?
Weirdly, they're saying,
supposedly, yeah. That's the plan. I don't know. I hope so, too. And today we're brought to you by Loot Crate, Quip, and Third Love. But I'll tell you about all of that later, because right now we're doing Kinda Funny Games Daily. You can be a part of the show by going to kindafunny.com/KFGD to write in questions, comments, concerns, all of that stuff. Or if you want to correct us when we get things wrong during the show, although I don't think she's getting anything wrong.
You're giving me a lot of credit.
I am. But if we do, accidentally, you can go to kindafunny.com/you'rewrong. And at the end of the show, we'll correct it so that later when people are watching the show on youtube.com/kindafunnygames or listening to the show on podcast services around the globe, they'll be able to understand, like, hey, they got things wrong, but they're just human. So they have to be able to make mistakes, Kevin. Do you still hate me?
I don't hate you, and you know that.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have five news stories today.
A Baker's Dozen!
A lot of enthusiasm. First news story today, Aiden. Medieval is a remake, not a remaster.
Yay!
This comes from the PlayStation blogcast, and thank God, because man, that game would not age well.
Oh, no.
Appearing on a PlayStation blogcast, Sean Layden explained the approach for this new version of the fondly remembered PS1 game. I think there have been some words that might sound alike but mean different things, like remake and remaster. This is a remake. We've taken the original game design and we've taken a lot of the key art, some of the other attributes of the game design and ethos, if you will, and we're working with a developer called Other Ocean Interactive, and they're remaking Medieval in that design. The original Medieval from PlayStation 1, the one that I worked on when I was in Tokyo, when the project was revealed at PSX 2017, the teaser trailer specifically referred to it as a 4K remaster, so this is somewhat of a change in messaging. Layden made it clear that despite a new studio working on the game, connections to the original development remain. Quote, we're working with some of the talent that was originally associated with the title 20 years ago, so we're making sure that we're keeping it real. We're keeping it to the original intent of the creators. Layden also said that a new trailer will arrive appropriately on Halloween.
Of course. Hey.
Did you ever play the original Medieval?
No, actually. I'm familiar with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I only caught like the tail end of like the PlayStation 1 stuff. Because guess what? I'm a baby.
I'm going to tell you right now, you didn't miss out on much.
Really?
What are your thoughts, Kev? Bring them in.
I very much enjoyed it. And I'm excited to have another chance to play it. And I'm glad it's a remastered, first of all.
Totally. It has
because,
to be.
Yeah, those games do not age well. And they need a lot more work. But I'm excited to give it another go.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's kind of exciting to see how games age and change over the years and like how mechanics and controls and things like that have just developed since that time and what I was familiar with back then and how different they are now, and going back is like, wow, this is really janky. How did I get through this?
Especially for a game like Medieval that was a 3D platformer-esque action adventure game on the PlayStation 1 when they're still figuring out what that even meant and how to be able to traverse a world in three dimensions. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the game was a bit of just like a copy and paste of elements of a lot of other games at that time, and they just kind of put them all together, and it created something that was fine. Honestly, I'm hating on the game a little too hard. It was okay. It was just never great. So I feel like this game, the remake, doesn't really have a chance to be great, even if they like try to modernize it, because I feel like it'd have to be drastically different for it to be updated for modern.
That's
kind
of the thing that frustrated me about Fable Anniversary, actually.
About which one?
Fable Anniversary.
Oh, okay.
That was on 360 when they remastered it and redid it. But the problem I had with it was that it was a really beautiful game. It looked very modern. It played very modern. But they kept all the original menus. They kept all the original mechanics. And so it still felt like seriously old and janky. And it's like, this doesn't feel like a game I can play today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's still a good game, of course. Yeah. But it's just difficult to understand like why they wouldn't update that stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
Know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. I mean, Crash Bandicoot is something very near and dear to my heart, and again, those games aren't perfect. Far, absolutely not.
And that's part
it.
Of the charm.
But that this thing is, there is a charm to them, and it's like the jank kind of works in its favor in a way. And when the remake came out, I feel like they did update a lot of things like menu and like the annoying save features, mm-hmm. and like they fixed things that were flaws and problems with the game, mm-hmm. and we're like, we're gonna stay true to the spirit of what makes these games special and what people remember about them, but we're also gonna update enough things so it's not a total pain in the ass.
I think that's the way it should be handled.
Yeah, and so we'll see with this, because this game was originally remade on the PlayStation Portable back in the day,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't enjoy it there either. So
good old BSP.
So we'll see. But I will give a shout out to my boy, because he was fun to play in PlayStation All Stars Battle Royale. R.I.P.
I actually never played that one either.
Do you like Smash Brothers?
I do like Smash Brothers.
Good. Play Smash Brothers. we do have a question, though, about Medieval's remake. This comes from our boy Kebabs. He says, hello, Tim and Aiden. Today, as covered by IGN, Sean Layden said on the PlayStation broadcast he's been using the wrong word for the Medieval PS4 remake. He called it a remaster, just as he did when the Insane Trilogy was first announced. But here's the thing. Just to correct you, Kebabs, he didn't. And trust me, I know this more than anybody. When the Crash Bandicoot remake was first announced at E3 2016, he came out on stage and he said, fully remade from the ground up. Those are the words that he used, and it ended up being true. I remember back then there was a lot of hubbub, hullabaloo. People are just like, there's no way. It's just a remaster. They're not going to fully remake these. And they did. And they were fantastic to me.
God bless him!
But now he's using the correct term, remake. To me, calling it a remaster was a big misuse of the word, and because of this, I feel that the gaming press and the gaming community at large, what exactly the term remaster means has been blurred. So I'm really glad Sean has switched to using a more accurate term. For me, a remaster would be something like the Nathan Drake Collection on PlayStation 4 or the Jack Trilogy on PlayStation 3. They're ports that take advantage of the new hardware. Remakes, on the other hand, would be like Shadow of the Colossus on PS4 or Klonoa on Wii. They're developed separately from the originals, but do their best to remain authentic to them. Anyway, apologies for the rant. This is just something that's been a bit of a hot topic for me over the years, and I'm glad it's all cleared up now. I agree. I feel like, you know, developers and publishers and marketing need to be very clear about what the aim is of these projects. And I don't know that it's all cleared up, because the problem is, I think that we faced an interesting kind of fork in the road with this generation, because the remaster made a lot of sense when we were taking 480p games and upgrading them to the HD generation.
Mm-hmm.
So things like the Jak and Daxter trilogy and the Prince of Persia trilogy, and like pretty much every trilogy on PlayStation 2 got a PlayStation 3 remastered trilogy. That made sense. But then when we start seeing, you know, Last of Us from PS3 brought up to PS4, it's like, okay, cool, that's still a remaster. But then you got start talking about like things like Crash Bandicoot and things like that are like Fable, where it's like, mm-hmm. or Halo Anniversary, right? There's a lot more work put into them. And there's still places that are, it's half remaster, half remake.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we'll ever get away from that.
I don't know if we ever will either.
No.
And I mean, I totally understand your frustration. I mean, I have the same frustration as a consumer, you know. I think it's misleading to use like remaster when you're really using a remake, you know? Mm-hmm. And that part of it's frustrating. So I totally agree with you on that, Kebabs. But I mean, it's like you said, like, are we ever really going to be in this unambiguous place with this? I don't think so. It's just re.
But I think that we're getting closer. And I also feel like with the future of games looking a bit more cloud-based, maybe we'll see less and less of these being full-fledged releases and then mm-hmm. being a bit more like patches and updates to older games.
That would be cool.
I don't know. We'll see. Stay tuned. Next news story. This comes from Capcom USA's Twitter. Resident Evil is coming to Switch. And man, they're coming hard. Capcom's bringing multiple fan favorites to Nintendo Switch. Resident Evil 1, the remake, Resident Evil 0, and Resident Evil 4 will each be launching on Nintendo Switch in 2019. We will have more info soon. What does this mean to you, Aiden?
Okay, well, Resident Evil kind of has a special place in my heart. Good. I really don't like horror, mm-hmm. so I don't really play a lot of Resident Evil, I'll be honest. But I did grow up near Springfield, Missouri, and that is the most geographically accurate place to Raccoon City from Resident Evil. So,
this is a little too close to home for you.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah. These games, classics, well, remake, Resident Evil 4, classics. Resident Evil 0, good game, but not classic.
Resident Evil 4 is pretty good.
Resident Evil 4, fantastic. One of the greatest games ever made. And most people own multiple copies of it. So guess what? You can rebuy another copy to be able to play on the go next year in 2019. I was a little surprised that it took so long for these games to be announced for Switch. Because last year, like, Capcom really kind of went hard on porting things over to Switch when they saw that there was mm-hmm. such a like cash flow coming in there.
Absolutely.
And also, like, they ported Resident Evil 1 and 2 to PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. A while back, the HD versions. And then when they had Resident Evil 4 re-release again everywhere, it felt like the timing was right to put it on Switch. So this is a little later than I expected, but I'm happy it's happening. I feel like the Switch is slowly becoming like the place for retro games. And I can't believe that I'm calling Resident Evil 4 a retro game.
I wouldn't call Resident Evil 4 retro.
I think we're hitting that point, man.
I don't know. I don't think so.
How many decades need to pass until it qualifies, you know?
Look, it's not older than me.
But okay, so that is that the standard? but Resident Evil, the remake, right? Like, this goes back to the last story we were talking about, where that was one of the first times remake was put into... Mm-hmm. a game's title. And also it was a fun little like RE, you know, they had some fun there. But that game was remade from the ground up, and it was such an accomplishment, because that Resident Evil remake on GameCube still holds up graphically. Like, you look at it, the art style, the decisions they made with that game make sure that it is still beautiful to this day. And when it was remastered on Xbox One and PS4, it could have come out on those consoles in current time and mm-hmm. it still looked good. And Resident Evil 4, I think, is a little less true for that, but it's similar in the sense that, like, because of the colors they used and the geometry of the characters, I feel like they've created some timeless games here.
Mm-hmm.
And the controls of Resident Evil and Resident Evil 0, not timeless. But the controls of Resident Evil 4, absolutely timeless. I recommend giving them another shot when they come to Switch.
I mean, I definitely appreciate them, of course, but I am just a big giant crybaby.
Man, we got a lot. There's a lot of horror news for today, so we'll see how this goes.
Oh boy, I'm gonna have the time of my life, huh?
And Joe Medforth writes in and says, "Hi Tim and Aiden, just in time for Halloween next week, Capcom tweeted today they'll be bringing Resident Evil Zero, and one of my personal favorite games of all time, Resident Evil 4, to Nintendo Switch in 2019. Better late than never. I have so many great memories of Resident Evil 4 terrifying and thrilling me. What are your favorite horror games, and which ones would you love to see on Switch if they aren't already available?"
Oof. Okay, well, the only like actual horror game I've ever been able to get through
mm-hmm.
Is Layers of Fear.
Layers of Fear.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, Aiden, we have some news for you. I'm going to jump ahead to the next story just because that's a great segue. Layers of Fear 2 is revealed. This comes from Andy Chalk at PC Gamer. Project Melees was teased in March as the code name for the next project in the works at Bloober Team. Great name. Developer of games including Layers of Fear and Observer. Today, publisher Gun Media rolled out a teaser revealing that the, quote, new masterpiece behind... Mealy's is actually Layers of Fear 2. The teaser's just about the only information we have about the game at this point, although it does suggest that the experience will be at least thematically similar to the original. In that game, you play as a tortured artist struggling to complete his magnum opus while his sanity unravels, and in the new game, you'll apparently play as an actor who might be dealing with similar issues. Coming in 2019, the first Layers of Fear was available on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, PC, Mac, and Linux, so pretty much everywhere games can be played. We don't know where Layers of Fear 2 will end up, but based on that, you can imagine of course. Eventually it'll end up.
Oh, everywhere. Yeah, for sure. I mean, and honestly, give it a chance if you can. The first one is really just super psychological, and that's what I appreciate in horror. I really don't like gore.
Mm.
That's the thing that like turns me off to everything is because I can actually feel the pain that the characters are in.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I just, that's why I don't like it.
Yeah.
And, with that one, there definitely are a few moments that are like really gory and just like too much for me to handle personally. But it was great in the sense that it was grotesque and atmospheric and psychological and mm-hmm. more of a thriller than a horror game.
Yeah. I wasn't the biggest fan of Layers of Fear.
Really?
Back in the day, I guess it was 2015, we did a big sponsored thing with them where we went to a haunted house and like they had us like do scary things while playing the game and had a little thing on. Go find it, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. It was a definitely fun video. But I didn't really like the game too much.
Really?
I remember Greg really liked it. Colin really liked it. So I was like, all right. But it wasn't for me. Something about it felt a little too like low quality. I felt like there was a lack of polish. And I feel like some of the scares were a little bit too telegraphed.
Because mm-hmm.
I love horror games for the jump scares. Like, I love scary.
More for you, friend.
I'm a big PT guy, you know?
More for you.
And coming from PT to this, it was like PT had such polish, had such like immersion.
PT, what's that?
PT, the Silent Hills
Council Project. Okay, yeah. Thing.
But yeah, Layers of Fear 2, watching this trailer, I was like, this actually looks like it's addressing some of my concerns, where mm-hmm. it seems like the polish is a lot higher, and the actor storyline and stuff. Because I did like the idea of Layers of Fear, mm-hmm. and the paintings and using the whole artist's kind of mind as the thing that's unraveling and causing all the scary stuff was cool. And there was like a reason for the scary, crazy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like. The acting stuff, I'm like, oh, this sounds like it could be really, really cool with him battling with his inner demons and like mm-hmm. all that. So
I'm down for that.
I'm staying tuned. I'm sure that the blonde nerd, Brittany, over at What's Good Games is going to be very excited about this. I know she was a big fan of it. But going back to the last question, are there any horror games that you'd want to see on Switch?
No.
For me, I'm happy that the Resident Evil games are coming. I feel like that is the answer. A lot of horror games that I've enjoyed over the years, I don't know that I really need to play again. Fatal Frame 2 is probably my favorite ever.
I've been told I need to play that.
It's cool.
No, dude. You know
and also, don't play.
Also,
it
don't play.
It's horrifying.
Okay, great. Oh, yeah. I'll avoid it.
It is very scary. I don't know that it would be at home on Switch, though. I feel like
Wasn't that the one that has the camera and you have to take pictures of the camera? I don't know, man, but the gyro.
And that's my thing. If there's a new game for it that's made for the Switch with the gyro and stuff, I'm in. That sounds awesome.
Okay.
So yeah, there's my answer. Fatal Frame, but make it new. Next news story. This one's a weird one for me. It comes from Colin Stevens over at IGN. Monster Hunter movie shows off iconic item. After fans become worried that the upcoming Monster Hunter film wouldn't feature weapons and items typically in the game franchise, a new photo shows off a decidedly iconic tool fans will undoubtedly recognize. Mila Jovovich posted the picture in question on Instagram, showing off a slinger attached to her left arm and her body decked out in metal armor. The photo came with the following caption, quote, Captain Natalie Artemis, Ranger, Monster Hunter. Just a little peek for all the Monster Hunter World fans out there who were worried the other day. Here's Captain Artemis wearing a slinger on her arm. I will also post a set pic at some point of the incredible Monster Hunter weapons we've recreated for the film. Yeah, can you show this to them, Kev? Worries arose after actor Diego Boneta posted a picture of his character, Sergeant Marshall, holding an assault rifle while wearing modern military clothing. With both pictures out in the wild, it appears the film will have both modern weapons and more fantastical equipment that the game series is known for. Director Paul W.S. Anderson has been discussing this film for quite some time, as in 2016, he described his dream for the movie to be centered around an average American who is pulled into a parallel world infested with monsters. Quote, then eventually the parallel world ends up coming to our world.
What?
You remember this is what happened with Super Mario Brothers the movie. Like, do I need to, like, draw the parallels there? Like, remember when it started to get drawn
okay,
into...
Okay, that just sounds like a hot mess.
Oh, man. So you have the creatures from the Monster Hunter world invading our world, he said. With both photos, it seems this original plan has likely remained intact. So the reason I wanted to talk about this story, Aiden, is I didn't even know a Monster Hunter movie was being made.
I think I had heard something about it, but I didn't know Mila was going to be a part of it. And
I didn't know that or Paul W.S. Anderson. It's like, okay, so they're like, you know what? We did it. We did it with the Resident Evil movies. Let's do it again. We got Capcom. What other franchises they got? Let's just make this happen. I don't know, man.
Honestly, though, Mila can stomp on me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, here's the thing. I love her. His movies, I can't say I love. The Resident Evil franchise had it, had its moments in the like quirky, campy way. Uh-huh. But like,
I mean, I enjoy the Resident Evil films. Yeah. Or as like gross as they were.
What are your thoughts, Kev?
I don't know, man. That's this is some interesting stuff. Your parallels to the Mario Bros. Movie is scary, but we've learned, right?
I don't think we have because, like, they're literally just doing what they did with Resident Evil again. Like, the same
crew. Is that necessarily a bad thing, though?
I think it is. I think it is. Resident Evil, the first movie, came at a time when we were, quote-unquote, desperate for video game movies. And I use that term very, very extremely, where it was like, oh, we're going to get Resident Evil. That sounds cool. We're going to go to the mansion, right? No? No, we're not going to the mansion?
No, we do go to the mansion, but we're underneath it.
Oh, but yeah, okay, cool, great. So we're going to this really weird lab that's very sterile looking, and it's like, oh, there's the laser hallway. That was cool. I'm not going to hate on the laser hallway.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, all your favorite characters are there. Claire and, you know, all of them. Yeah, they're there. Oh, they're not there. They're not there. Oh, but they're going to come in the sequels very sporadically and not be consistent when they show up and why.
But I mean, there's a little bit of maybe some hope in this. I mean,
I appreciate your positivity.
I try to have good vibes. Yeah, I try to have good vibes.
You big Monster Hunter fan?
I actually just got into it.
Good.
Yeah.
See,
yeah.
Here you go.
World was my first experience with Monster
Hunter.
Yeah. Woo! Woo! But I really enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun. It's definitely hard to learn. World
was
is,
Monster Hunter World this year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. This January, I think. It has not been 90 years, Joe.
My God. Wow. I need to talk to Greg about that for Game of the Year stuff because I'm sure he forgot about
that.
Yeah,
I know. It's
kind
of like fatiguing, isn't it? There's just been so much that's come out this year. And
this year and last year, it's like video games, man. They're in like video the best games, place man. They've ever been. I love it. This is great.
But yeah, no. I mean, I'm excited to see what they do with this. And this plot idea sounds like a really hot mess, and I don't think that's going to work. But, you know, it might be really pretty. And also Mila.
And also Mila. We'll see. We'll see how this goes. But there is hope out there for video games crossing over into other forms of media. I put this news story in here. Castlevania Season 2 reviews are in, and they are very, very positive.
Good.
I'm very excited about this. IGN's Jesse Schneiden gave it a 9.2 the season, saying in a time when most studios still can't seem to figure out how to properly translate video games to film and TV, Castlevania emerges as the new gold standard. Season 2 builds on the foundation of the brief first season, expanding the world and introducing more compelling, nuanced characters caught up in Dracula's war. It manages to be faithful to the source material while still making big changes where necessary and emphasizing character growth over mindless action. This is all great news. Did you watch season one?
Yes, I did.
Did you like season one?
I really enjoyed it.
I really enjoyed it as well. Were you a big Castlevania person?
I actually never got into Castlevania.
This show, I feel, does a great job of explaining what makes Castlevania special and why the games are worth going back and playing. Mm-hmm. And it's great because just today, we're getting some of the best Castlevania games of all time releasing on PS4 and Xbox One. We'll get to that later. But Kevin, did you watch season one?
I did.
Did you like season one?
I really did, except I hated that it was like four episodes and done.
I think we all kind of hated that, but it was intended to be just kind of like here's what's to come.
Test run, yeah.
Produced by our boy Adi Shankar, who...
I don't think this season was.
Oh, yeah, really?
I don't think so. I think he's still on the team, of course, but I don't think that he was as involved.
That would be
this
news
time
to me. Well, whatever. Season one was.
I might be wrong. Tell me if I'm wrong,
that.
Please.
Yeah, please, go to you're wrong and let me know about that. The only issue I had with season one was the music, because Castlevania... One of the things to me that's most iconic about the series is the music and the atmosphere it creates. And they just didn't use Castlevania songs for the show. And I don't know if that's some weird...
They have not had rights to it.
But I can't imagine that because they have rights to Castlevania.
True.
You know? So
valid.
It's like, I don't know
valid
how that, why that would work that way. But especially when you see something like Smash Bros. Having Simon Belmont in it and having like 34 Castlevania songs.
Mm-hmm.
When it's like, because if it was like a licensing issue, I feel like they'd have problems too. Because in Smash Bros., they have Cloud, mm-hmm. but they only have two Final Fantasy songs because of that garbage. But Aiden, maybe one day all these licensing issues will be figured out. But until then, if I want to know what video games were coming to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
Well, Tim, the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah. Out today, 911 operator on the Switch. Kevin, what do you think 911 operator is?
Oh, man.
Is it as simple as the name implies?
Give me a Google. Give me a quick Google.
I'm going to look it up. I want to watch the trailer because I cannot...
Like, what does that look like as a video game on the Switch?
I don't know if I would want that to be a video game.
I don't know either. Maybe it... Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say anything insensitive.
You want me to show it?
Yeah, show the people.
Do you want audio?
No. We'll just keep it here.
All right.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Interesting. Would not have guessed
this. Is this like...
So it's kind of like looking like at like a Waze map. And then you see that the call's coming through and you have to like click around on stuff. Okay.
That actually looks...
This looks simple enough that it could be fun.
Yeah. It's kind of like Mini Metro-ish.
Yeah.
Which that one over there got me super duper addicted to.
Next up, Castlevania Requiem, Symphony of Night, and Rondo of Blood coming to PlayStation 4. Oh, earlier I said it was also Xbox One. It's just PlayStation 4. That's very exciting news. And if you haven't played Castlevania, I highly recommend you jump in.
I should check it out.
Check out Symphony of the Night. It is one of the greatest video games of all time.
I might just do that.
And the PS4 version looks real pretty. Chicken Range on PlayStation 4 and PlayStation Vita. It lives. Kev, what do you think Chicken Range is?
I think it's what it sounds, man. You're raising chickens, you know what I mean?
Ranging? You're ranging chickens. What does that mean?
Looking it up.
What type of game would you imagine Chicken Range on the PS4 and Vita?
Well, I would hope it would be just as goofy and awkward as Chicken Run was back in forever ago. Oh, that movie. Run.
That was a thing.
Oh, I love that movie. I love that movie.
I never liked the whole Wallace and Gromit style.
I love it.
Yeah?
I love stop motion films. I just like animation.
Yeah, big animation fan myself.
I don't know what this would be. Maybe this would be like a farming game.
Let's see.
Oh, ooh, oh, God.
Oh, Jesus.
Not great.
No. Oh, no. Chicken Range. No.
No, please. Wow.
This looks like the bad mini game in Super Sports Matchin' that's super hard to control. Wow. Wait, this is like, it's like shitty Duck Hunt.
No. I mean, like, but they're running. You know, Duck Hunt, at least, like, you got random.
Look at like, the horrible, the, like, had it like 15 they, frames per second ghosts.
Are they shitting on the screen? What, like, what?
I think they're eggs.
They're throwing eggs?
How do chickens throw eggs?
I don't know. They didn't have enough money to pay for that animation, I guess.
Oh, yes.
No, there was one. We just saw an egg.
Okay, let's move it on.
Moving on to My Hero 1's Justice.
PS4, Bless Ultra.
Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Do you know what this is?
Yes, I love I love My Hero Academia.
Is it?
Yes, it's My Hero.
But okay.
Yeah, BNHA.
You're gonna need to like update me on this. So I know My Hero Academia, but My Hero 1 is the same thing?
Yeah, so My Hero 1's Justice is the fighting game that was, I think it was announced at E3 alongside the other one.
Jump Force.
No, not Jump Force. The one with the girls and the scissors.
Skullgirls.
No, not Skullgirls. gosh.
Scissors.
Kill the Kill.
Oh, Kill the Kill. Yeah.
Yes, I think it was like announced alongside that. And I see BNHA. Okay. I got you.
Okay. There we go.
But this is a fighting game, I believe.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what the plot is. I haven't really kept up with it. Uh-huh. But today's the day. Today's the day.
It is out on PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. And also a little game called Red Dead Redemption 2 on PS4 and Xbox One. Kev, what do you think that one is? And finally, Halloween Pinball on the Nintendo Switch. I do have a question. Do you think that it allows you to turn the Switch vertically
to
play? Please find this out, Kev. I need to know. The people need to know.
Also, with Red Dead Redemption, me and Cool Greg are going to stream it after Games Daily.
After Games Daily today. If you want to watch Kevin and Cool Greg play a little Red Dead, stay tuned. Right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. What's your bet? Do you think you'll be able to play Halloween Pinball on Nintendo Switch vertically?
I hope so.
I think you will. Kevin's giving up.
No, I'm just having trouble finding it.
Okay, that doesn't surprise me. You can keep looking. Much.
Oh, God, no.
Oh,
you
no.
found it?
I mean, oh, no. I found images of it.
Doesn't look like you can do vertical.
For whatever reason, it won't load the images, but they're all horizontal.
Things ain't looking good. Someone let us know. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Some new dates for you. Once again, from Colin Stevens at IGN, Vampire, the gothic action role-playing game released for the PC, PS4, and Xbox One earlier this year, is officially coming to the Nintendo Switch. Revealed through a Focus Home Interactive earnings report, it looks like the success of Vampire on its current platforms has given the publisher reason to bring Don't Nod's title to Nintendo's handheld/console hybrid. Quote, in Q3, the group will continue to maximize the potential of the Vampire license, the report notes. After the game's impressive success on PC, Xbox One, and PS4, it will be Nintendo Switch's turn to welcome the Don't Nod title to reach an even wider audience. The report doesn't clarify if Q3 is in regards to 2018 or 2019, though a fiscal third quarter typically ends in September, so 2019 is a likely bet. I never played Vampire. It looked difficult.
Well, they made an easy patch.
Did they?
Just for you.
Oh, thank God. I need that. I need that.
I'm sorry, that's all mean.
Ark Survival Evolved is coming November 30th to the Nintendo Switch. Deals of the day for you. This comes from Endorphins SC. If you want to upgrade your Xbox One, any model, to an Xbox One X, it will only cost you $260 or $210 plus tax. And this total includes a copy of Red Dead Redemption 2 for the Xbox One. You got to go to GameStop with your system and ask for the Xbox One X that works for the promo. It has the specific SKU 155211. You got to ask for that one. And this is good through Sunday, October 28th. And also, you get $25 in coupons and points. Still sounds like a lot of money to upgrade, but hey, it's less than $500. Yes. You know what I mean? So if you're interested in upgrading, this might be the best deal that you're going to get. Now it's time for reader mail. But before we get to that, let me tell you about our sponsors. First off, Loot Crate. Let me tell you about Loot Gaming. It's a monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture, collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates and designs everything themselves. You can't find these items anywhere else. We got a little Metal Gear pint glass, which we have. Damn it, it's not that one. Are you holding one? You have the Foxhound glass?
Yes, yes, he does.
Bring it over here. Bring it over here. There you go. If you want that, you gotta get this box. This much theme victory comes to the edge of a blade. Face your enemies with razor sharp gear from God of War, The Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. Loot Gaming is a curated collection of exclusive, one-of-a-kind items from the best video game franchise, like Metal Gear Solid. Guaranteed t-shirt in every crate. $60 of value in each crate for less than $29 a month. So here's the thing. If you, only after 5 months, you'll have 5 t-shirts. You can wear those shirts every day of the week. Guess what? The weekend, you can reuse the shirt. Nobody's watching.
No judgment.
$60 value in each crate for less than $29 a month. This crate will sell out. You must order by this week to guarantee yours, as they will sell out. Get the best surprises each month from the largest geek and gaming subscription company out there. Geek out in style with Loot Crate. Subscribers are also automatically entered to win each month's epic drop, a special prize that looters can win just by being a looter. This month's epic drop includes a PlayStation 4 Pro and God of War bundle. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games and enter the code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. Go to lootcrate.com/games and enter code GAMES to save 30% off your subscription. What's up, Kev?
Just to be clear, if you want that pint glass, you've lost your chance. You want things like it.
This was last month's, and it's beautiful. I've drank a lot of water out of this. Here you go, Joe. You can take that back.
Just call me the Vanna White of games.
Next up, Quip. One of the most important things we do for our health every day is brushing our teeth, yet most of us don't do it properly. I can tell you what, I definitely haven't been the last couple years. Quip is a better electric toothbrush created by dentists and designers. Quip was designed to make brushing your teeth more simple, affordable, and even, guess what? Enjoyable. People brush too hard, and some electric toothbrushes are too abrasive. A built-in 2-minute timer pulses every 30 seconds to remind you when to switch sides, helping guide a full and even clean. Up to 90% of us don't brush for a full 2 minutes or don't clean evenly. Quip doesn't require a clunky charger and runs for 3 months on just one charge. Brush heads are automatically delivered on a dentist-recommended schedule every 3 months for just $5. And that's why Nick loves Quip and why they're backed by over 20,000 dental professionals. Quip starts at just $25. And if you go to getquip.com/games right now, you can get your first refill pack for free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Nick's been using his. He's been loving his. That is your first refill pack free at getquip.com/games. And finally, Third Love. Shout out to Third Love. Third Love has an offer for all the kind of honeys out there, the perfect bra. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast size and shape in mind so that they'll fit impeccably and feel even better. Third Love just added 24 new sizes, making them the industry leader with a total of 70 sizes. I didn't even know that much sizes were available, but apparently they are. Damn. Did you know that?
Yes.
You would be more informed than me. Skip the trip. Find your fit in, I love little rhymes. In 60 seconds online, order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Gia loves her strapless one. Her friend has this lacy black one that her boyfriend loves. And Jen didn't love hers. But guess what? It was okay. She got one too big. She could return it. Easy returns. Make all of this really simple and easy. Third Love takes its customer input seriously. They recently launched their most requested style, cotton. Things are getting soft, ladies and gentlemen. It took 2 years to develop and perfect the cotton collection, which is made with a premium cotton called Pima. The result is a line of incredibly soft, smooth, and breathable bras and underwear you'll want to wear every day. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering listeners 15% off your first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off today.
That was a lot. You're right.
Yes, I got it through. We got it. Reader mail time. Parker Trov writes it and says, "Hey KFGD crew, happy Friday. Since the Microsoft XO event is nearing and it's being announced that Kingdom Hearts 3, Crackdown 3, and Division 2 will all be playable at the event. Reports from Kotaku, Obsidian being in talks to be acquired. Do you believe that this will be an event that Xbox fans should be hyped for, or should expectations be tempered?"
I don't really have an answer for that. I mean,
bring the hype, baby. Oh my God.
Bring the hype.
Here's my thing. I feel when you look at Microsoft doing its XO event bigger than it ever has before, making a big deal, letting people know, hey, we're doing the press conference version of what's their show called? The Inside Xbox. 2 hours long. Like they're giving people a time to watch it, and like they're letting people know, hey, there's going to be announcements. There's going to be things you should see. I feel bringing attention to it says that they have something to show. Contrast that to PSX not happening. That shows they have nothing to show. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's all a kind of a timing thing. With PSX, last couple of years, we've seen them have huge PSX press conferences with, you know, Final Fantasy VII remake footage with like big reveals, Last of Us 2 first being shown, Uncharted 4's first, like that big gameplay demo that wowed everybody. Like we've seen some big stuff at PSX, but then we've also seen like last year's PSX where it was a bit more of like a, hey, we're not going to have a press conference. We're going to instead do this kind of like gaming roundtable thing where Greg Miller's going to interview people. And it's like, this is cool, but like, there's not really huge announcements. Medieval Remaster was announced there, but like a remake, whatever you want to call it. And it's like, all right, really? Like that's the biggest gun that you're going to use here. And them not having a PSX this year, I think really tells the story of the PlayStation 5 is coming. We know we have Ghost of Tsushima. We know we have Last of Us 2. We know we have Death Stranding. We don't know when. And I feel like they're not ready to tell us that yet because they're looking at E3 to be the time for them to come out and be like, release date, release date, release date. Here is the path leading to the PlayStation 5. And I'm sure if they had things to announce, they would have done a PSX. You look at Xbox, they have to have things to announce. What's it going to be? I don't know. I was surprised to see them say that Halo Infinite's not going to be there. So what does that mean? Or is this going to disappoint a lot of people? I don't know. What hopes do you have to see for Xbox?
I mean, I hope that they'll maybe announce a few more exclusives. That would be nice since they haven't had any exclusives recently, you know, because I really enjoy the Xbox One. It feels good to play. I enjoy it. You know, PS4 definitely has a better UI because Xbox can't seem to figure its UI out.
They got the Xbox One X, though. They got that, like, they got the power, man. And me, like, playing games on that, it is a better experience than
really
playing on PlayStation 4.
I haven't played with the X yet.
It's good.
Yeah, I still have my like my original gigantic that takes up like half of my suitcase Xbox One.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm excited because like I, you know, with them buying all the studios, it might be a little too early to start announcing what the games are. But maybe some of them are far enough along that they can show something.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we pull some surprise and at least like hint at the Scarlet and the cloud service and all that. Mm-hmm. I think that we're way too early for that. But you never know, man. Xbox have been doing very interesting things. And like they are, I think, trying to set themselves up to be industry leaders, not followers, next generation. So
I mean, and I kind of hope that they do. You know, this generation's been a little meh for them.
Yeah, it has. Next question. Andrew writes in and says, hello, Tim and Aiden. My question is for you guys and is a follow-up to what Nintendo may be bringing to the Game Awards this December. On Monday, Tim mentioned that he thinks Nintendo will be showing off Bayonetta 3 again, Metroid Prime 4, and Smash Ultimate DLC. To some people, this may seem like an impossible dream, but I believe that using what Nintendo showed off last year is a precursor for what we may see at the Game Awards this year. Last year, Nintendo revealed Bayonetta 3, a port of Bayonetta 1 and 2, and the Breath of the Wild DLC. Using the same outline, I believe we could see Metroid Prime 4, a Metroid Prime trilogy, and the Smash Ultimate DLC. I realize these two offerings are not the exact same, but are roughly similar and fit what Nintendo has in the pipeline for 2019 and beyond. Would love to hear your thoughts. Love all you guys and gals do, and keep up the amazing work.
Tell us more about Animal Crossing, you cowards.
They won't. Game Awards is not the place for Animal Crossing.
True. True.
Andrew, I actually buy what you're selling here. All right. I've been saying Bayonetta 3. Based off what you're saying, I do think it's actually more likely we see Metroid Prime 4 and Metroid Prime Trilogy. We might not actually see gameplay of Metroid Prime 4. It might just be a bit more of like a hey reminder, this is a thing, maybe a little CG action, an official title, because I don't think the game's going to be called Metroid Prime 4. But yeah, I feel the Metroid Prime trilogy port is inevitable. Mm-hmm. We've heard way too many rumors about it over the last couple of years, and I'm surprised we haven't seen it already. But I think that is also telling of how far along or not far along Metroid Prime 4 actually is. Because they're going to want to put that out, I would say, a year to a year and a half before Metroid Prime 4 to be able to maximize on it. Similarly to what Bayonetta 1 and 2 did coming out earlier this year. I imagine we'll get Bayonetta 3 March next year.
I hope we do.
I hope we do, too.
I can definitely go for some more Bayonetta.
Yes, man. So, non-Smash, but in her own game, absolutely. And yeah, the Breath of the Wild DLC was dropped last year. Like it was like, hey, you can get it tonight after the show. I don't think they're going to do that with Smash Bros. Because Smash
probably not
comes out the day after. Wait, no, the day before the Game Awards. No. Game Awards is Thursday. So yeah, day after. But I do think they're going to announce Smash DLC is a thing, and maybe like tease the first character, whoever it ends up being. Mm-hmm. Adam Bunkhurst writes in and says, with Red Dead Redemption 2 launching today and everyone talking about all the amazing things it does, I wanted to focus in on the quieter and more beautiful moments. I can't wait to see a thunderstorm in the distance and ride straight to it and experience the majesty and rage of Mother Nature in the middle of untamed America. I love these little moments in games where you're allowed to take a breath and appreciate the beauty of a world so meticulously and lovingly crafted. What are your favorite quiet or little moments in Red Dead or from other games that have impacted you?
So as I mentioned last time I was on, I never got into Red Dead. Grab your pitchforks. I know that's a crime. But for me, it was just like too open. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really have enough structure for me to really enjoy it. I appreciate it for what it is. But for me, the game that really just does it in terms of those beautiful moments and like, wow, Skyrim. Yeah.
Okay. What are the moments, though?
I just like, you know, you can run around anywhere and you can find the smallest story and the smallest things. Like one of my favorite little small stories that you can just find in Skyrim. I can't remember the name of the inn, but it's somewhere in like Hijalmarch, I believe. I probably just totally butchered that. Please don't hate me. but it's right behind an inn and it's a big stack of stones. And there's a little basket of flowers, some candles on the stones, and a ring in the middle.
Awesome. That's great.
And it's just so subtle. Like if you're not looking for anything, you won't see it.
Yeah.
You know, but like if you're just like really trying to appreciate those fine, minute details, those are the kind of stories you'll find in Skyrim.
Man, there you go.
And I've played through that like 8 times now. Mm-hmm. It's a problem.
Well, it's been released 8 times, so it's not your problem. Yeah, for me, I feel this is not a unique answer, but the Uncharted games, I feel all of them kind of build to moments where you almost get overwhelmed with the vista in front of you, mm-hmm. where it's like when you know, you'll be in the jungle and then you're kind of like climbing a bit, but then there's always that reveal when you're on the top of the mountain, mm-hmm. able to look out, and like it's always sunset, it's always magic hour, perfect lighting, everything's beautiful.
Of course.
And it's like you just kind of stop and then just spin the camera around, you know, give that E3 moment, mm-hmm. of like, wow, this is so cool. And besides Uncharted, I feel like the first time that I ever had that moment with just like looking at how beautiful the game was weirdly enough, Final Fantasy 13.
I love Final Fantasy 13.
That's an opinion. It's definitely an opinion.
It is an opinion. We don't talk about Lightning Returns, but.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I there was a moment where it's like when the world starts actually opening up.
Yeah, when you get on Grand Pulse,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly. And everything is so, so beautiful, and just being able to spin the camera around lightning and just the way, like that was the first game where I noticed the kind of motion blur, mm-hmm. of a camera, and that made it feel so much more cinematic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was definitely one for me. And then in a different way, like Mario Odyssey, I feel did a really good job of having all these like weird little, mm-hmm. there's ways that unique animations that like you would
it's
only interact
game.
with things in this world that way. Mm-hmm. I really appreciated that. I feel like I will never see all of them. Like I feel like there's so much stuff in that game that like just little quirky stuff that, you know, everyone kind of has their own water cooler stories about.
Mm-hmm.
Rave Lord Nito says, I'm curious, do you think we'll get a sequel to God of War or Spider-Man before the next console? Will God of War of the teen years be a PS5 launch game? Is it possible to see a turnaround on Spider-Man in less than 2 to 3 years? What do you guys think? Thanks for all you do.
Okay, so RE God of War, I haven't played that yet because I'm in grad school.
Okay, that is like the one acceptable answer to that. God, one of the best games of all time, and it came out this year.
Look,
so
Joe's
good.
Letting me borrow his copy. I'll be able to play it soon. So it will be a thing, and I still haven't played Spider-Man yet either for the same reason.
Yeah, oh, man. Okay.
No.
Okay.
But I did play Sunset Overdrive, and I've heard good things.
Yes,
because it's Insomniac.
Definitely. Here's my thoughts on this. I feel like we need to know more about what the next generation of consoles is going to be to mm-hmm. accurately predict how this is going to go. If PlayStation does have a backwards compatible cloud service that works, that people can wrap their heads around, which is becoming more and more likely by the day when we look at things like with what Google's doing and where Microsoft's pushing.
Mm-hmm.
Then I fully believe that we could see God of War being a launch-esque title, like maybe not launch day, but around like launch period time. But that's only if it's also compatible on PS4. I feel like we're going to see a God of War 2 situation, the original God of War 2 on PlayStation 2, where it came out after the PS3 came out on PlayStation 2. So I can see God of War wanting to get that install base that the PlayStation 4 has and wanting to sell those copies. But if it's also like enhanced for PS5, or like I'm hoping we don't even have to like put weird caveats like that on, mm-hmm. it. Just like PlayStation 5 is the best way to experience, but you can also experience it on PlayStation 4,
mm-hmm.
and because of cloud services and because of all this is just where we're going as a gaming culture. Spider-Man, I actually think we're going to see a lot sooner than later.
Probably.
I wouldn't be surprised to see a sequel coming out soon, because soon being relative, they have this city already. You know, they have a lot of the dynamics down. Not that it's going to be plug and play, but I feel like it is a bit more, all right, we have this world. Let's just add more characters and add more situations and scenarios. Whereas God of War is like every single thing. Like that we saw like hints of all the other worlds, spoilers, in God of War, where it's like we know there's other places that we haven't been able to go to.
Mm-hmm.
They still need to create the entirety of those worlds. I think that's going to take a lot more time. You know what? I'm going to wrap up here. It's time to squad up, ladies and gentlemen. Justin on PS4 writes in and says, Helldivers receives a new Hell update on PS4 featuring new weapons and enemies. Looking forward to best friends to dive back in with. So if you want to play with him, check him out. His PSN name is MKJSML. I imagine he just kind of like took his hand and went on his keyboard to figure that one out. But MKJSML.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes
it's just what you got to do. Yeah, you know? It's hard to come up with names.
Decision fatigue.
Now it's time for your wrong. People trying to keep us honest in the chat here.
You have a great laugh, Kevin.
Yeah, don't support him.
Can you just please not ruin things for me?
I hate you. Earlier I said I love you and I was lying. Damn. All right, let's see. You're wrong.
So, I take it you're not
going to
play Red Dead?
Kebab says, you're wronging you, Tim. Go back to the reaction video. And Sean does say, fully remastered from the ground up. Damn.
Yeah. Call you the fuck out.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I was wrong.
I like to think that he didn't even look into it. He was just like, fuck him. He's not going to check.
I don't know why my computer like zoomed in super hard, so it's hard to.
Do you need some assistance?
Like, yeah. How do I?
Control. It looks like you got
minus.
No, oh, there it is. Okay, cool, great. Yeah, I wasn't doing that because Google Docs is weird.
Google Sheets,
whatever it is. Capitalist Pig says regarding Adi Shankar in Castlevania, Shankar is still referred to as showrunner and producer in many articles about season two.
Okay, maybe he's not directing it this season. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think he directed last season, though, did he?
I thought he did.
I think he was just producer.
Maybe.
On
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Tim, I don't normally do this, but K-Vibes in the chat is saying, just to let you know, he did just remember he didn't check.
What?
The
fact check it.
The fact. What?
Fact check it.
The last thing. The last correction from K-Vibes?
Okay, cool. Drew the Gamer says, I'm currently reviewing Halloween Pinball developed by Enjoy Up Games. Like the rest of the tables they have put out, such as Mummy Pinball and Werewolf Pinball. You. Scroll. I need to get rid of this Google Sheets. This is horrible. You cannot play them vertically.
You can't. Okay.
No. Good to know.
I feel like we figured that out.
And Zyre says, the Game Awards are on December 6th while Smash is on the 7th.
Thank you, Zyre.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. Thank you, Aiden. Thank you very much for joining me on this beautiful day. Next week, we're going to return Monday, me and Big Greg Miller. But until then, where can people find you on the social media?
Well, as I said last time I was here, I live on Twitter. My handle is astraw with two W's.
Spell that out, please.
A-S-T-R-A-W-W. And that's like my handle for everything.
There you go.
I'm on Instagram and all that stuff too, but I don't really use my Instagram for anything other than cats. Same with my Twitter.
Like cats. Go for it. Until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you. And we shake our hands here.